Yes, keep a close eye on elections next week in Wales and Scotland for some guidance about whether the United Kingdom remains that. Because, barring a major upset, the Scottish National Party, led by Nicola Sturgeon, the SNP, is set to dominate the Scottish Parliament. And that could mean it demands a rerun for a referendum on whether Scotland should leave the UK. In Wales, polling shows an increasing appetite to also leave the Union. Plus, there's talk of the possibility of a reunification of Ireland. How much the recent street protests are about the Irish sea border as a result of the EU Brexit deal or broader youth frustration is a little bit unclear, but things are not normal, shall we say. Let's hear the insights now of a skilled observer, Michael Kenny, Professor of Public Policy and Director of the Bennett Institute for Public Policy at Cambridge University. His co-authored report is Union at the Crossroads. And I welcome Professor Kenny to Saturday Extra to explain why quite a few people are seriously wondering whether it's the Union's twilight.
Good morning.
Now, this discussion, is it being conducted in the average streets of the UK, or is it very much a sort of an academic discussion, would you say?
I think the current turbulence that really is affecting different parts of the UK really has now percolated to the surface of political life. I think it is something that animates people as well as politicians right across the UK. It's undoubtedly the case that it's a much more intense and popular topic of debate in Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland because these issues are becoming very pressing there. And that is in some ways an aftermath of Brexit, which really has intensified these discussions about the balance of power within the UK and the future of its different parts. The really interesting question is whether this is now engaging the English, the largest part of the UK. The people in England have generally been fairly soporific about these issues, fairly laid back about what's going to happen to the UK. But there is some really interesting evidence to suggest that the English too are now starting to engage with the question about what is the future of the UK to be.
Well, Chris Dearen, the New Statesman's Scotland editor, has a lovely couple of sentences that I think really crystallise it, I suppose, for Australians. There is, whatever happens, there is no going back to the centralised ways of old. And those at the centre who want to save the Union must start listening rather than lecturing. It may already be too late, of course, but if the UK is to be saved, it can only be done as a union of willing volunteers, not miserable conscripts. Now, how does that sort of land? I mean, that's getting pretty willing language, isn't it? How do you think the English might be thinking about that?
I think it's a really interesting way to frame it because it touches on a really deep-rooted problem or ambiguity, if you like, within the UK's constitutional system. And that is whether this is a union of four equal and voluntary parts. So if it is a voluntary union of that kind, then of course the different parts might be free, if their people want to leave it. But there is a different way of understanding how the union works, which says, no, this is really one entity and the source of power and authority in that entity lie in London. And those many people, particularly many Conservatives and many English Conservatives most of all, see parliamentary sovereignty as the sort of, the central narrative, the story about our country. And I think what we're seeing now is those two different ways of understanding the UK very much clashing, coming into conflict with each other. And so what I think that quotation gets at is that there are some unionists, particularly in the current Conservative government, who don't think that it's time to be doing more listening. They think it's time to be pushing back against devolution and the powers that have been given to governments elsewhere.
Mm. For instance, if Scotland, if there is a thumping majority for the Scottish Nationalists and they do demand a second referendum, the Prime Minister in London has to approve it. Does that put him in a difficult situation, whether he says yes or no to it?
It's a really difficult situation. I mean, given that, if you look at the polls now, it does look as if the SNP are on course to win a majority of seats in the forthcoming Scottish election, or at least if they don't win a majority outright, parties that support another independence referendum will win overall. So then there will be a demand for another referendum to happen. And the constitutional power about that, the decision over whether there is one, lies with the British Prime Minister. Now, he's indicated pretty clearly that he's going to say no. You know, we had one recently, we had one in 2014, and he doesn't think there's been a significant or material change in circumstances, which, of course, many nationalists dispute. The thing is, he can say no. The question then is, what happens after that? There's some talk that the Scottish government may be inclined to challenge that legally in the courts. It may be that a campaign for to have a referendum anyway, even if it's not officially approved by British government, gets going. And the politics of that are really fraught. Yes. You know, the risk is that people who may not necessarily support independence in Scotland, but they don't like being told by a British Prime Minister they can't have their own poll, maybe they move over to that other camp.
Goodness. The former Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who's of course a Scot, he's been talking for some time about what needs to be done for the union to survive, such as drawing up a new constitution and replacing the House of Lords with a Senate of the Nations. Now, they are big moves. One almost has the instinct that everyone's too exhausted to be trying this at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting one. You know, since Brexit, I mean, there have been a lot of arguments that things need to change. We need to change our system of government, maybe our constitution. And at the same time, you're right. I mean, we've had a huge constitutional change and it's proved to be really difficult and divisive and pretty exhausting. I think the Gordon Brown intervention is really interesting because what it shows is that unionists, you know, people on the pro-union side of this who want to keep the UK together, they are fundamentally divided. And the division is between those who say, like Gordon Brown, we need to change. We cannot just make an offer to people who might be sort of becoming quite interested in independence in Wales or Scotland. Our offer cannot be the UK as it is, with an English Conservative Prime Minister who can override wishes of the devolved governments. But other unionists, including the government, say, no, it's time to defend the union as it is and stop all these arguments about changing things endlessly. We need to stand and fight. And that divide in unionism is proving to be a real problem for those who want to save the UK.
Is there an appetite, though, within Whitehall to save the union?
Yeah, I mean, we looked in the report at how government at the centre, you know, in Whitehall and politicians at Westminster, how do they tend to approach these kind of issues about the union and their relationships with devolution and devolved governments? And it was really striking. We look back over the last 20 years since devolution was introduced. And, you know, there's something really peculiar in a way about the British state, because the union is kind of taken for granted. Everyone at the centre thinks it's a good idea and sort of assumes it will continue forever. And yet at the same time, the state machine finds it really hard to develop policy for the union and to put it first and to develop a strategy for making the union work. And I mean, one of the really striking things we found was the way in which the structure of government itself actually pushes these issues to the side. They're kind of somebody else's problem, because government is structured around things like education, health, foreign policy, and so on. The silos of British government are themselves one of the impediments to actually getting strategy together to save the union.
And what about Boris Johnson? You've described his, quote, muscular brand of unionism. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's not just Boris Johnson. I mean, he's one of a number of people who have been arguing that actually devolution itself may have gone too far, or may be the source of some of the problems that have led to the rise of nationalism in Scotland and Wales in particular. And so this is a kind of revisionist account of devolution, because his own party, the Conservative Party, adapted to it very quickly when it was introduced back in around the time of the millennium.
Although it was Labour who introduced it. Labour was in power in three of those areas, wasn't it, when it was introduced?
It was, and it's a really important point because there are parts of the Conservative Party that have always eyed this with some suspicion because of that, because it was a Labour creation. But most of the party seemed to adapt to it. But now there is this current of opinion, which has been bubbling around for a while, which says, actually, we've got to be more assertive in terms of both talking up the union, but also even maybe overriding some of the powers that are held by the devolved government. And so we've seen a few different spats. I mean, some of these were really quite big disputes in around Brexit about how to interpret the balance of power between London and Edinburgh or London and Cardiff. And this kind of muscular unionism, it's almost kind of macho unionism, is really saying, sorry, we're no longer going to sort of concede. We're no longer going to just stand and give you more ground. We are going to push back.
And what about the English people themselves? How do you think they feel about being part of the union now that they're concentrating on it a bit?
Well, I think this is one of the really big and so hardest to judge questions in all of this, because, you know, the English have traditionally been seen to be fairly indifferent to the union, or not particularly minded to pay too much attention to devolution. But over the last 20 years and maybe more, there has been a kind of rising current of more self-conscious English identity in England. So in other words, people who are no longer saying, oh yeah, I see myself as English or British, and the two don't mean, you know, that they mean the same thing. We've seen that more people are more sensitive to the idea that they are part of an entity called England. And I think part of that, it has different roots, but I think part of it is a growing awareness of devolution and the different powers that different governments hold. There's also evidence that the English have become more antsy, really, about the way in which spending and money is distributed around the UK. So you've got these kind of bubbling issues. Now we've had Brexit, which has been this huge constitutional issue. And now, you know, increasingly the focus is on the domestic union. And the English look as if they're becoming more engaged with this. At the moment, it's hard to read English opinion. There is a kind of solid minority that, frankly, would be very happy if Scotland left. And we're all watching.
Particularly Northerners.
Yeah, I mean, there is some feeling that Scotland gets a good deal and it's time for them to, if they want to whinge, you know, move on and leave. But I don't think that's where most English people are at all. I think most English people just quietly still support the union. We're going to have to see which way opinion breaks there when these issues really get intense.
Yes, very interesting. The former Tory Chancellor George Osborne writing recently, the UK is on course to become another historically interesting case study in how successful nations can perform unexpected acts of national suicide. OK, we'll keep a very close watch on it. We might have you back. Thank you, Michael Kenny, very much.
Thank you.
Michael Kenny is Professor of Public Policy and Director of the Bennett Institute for Public Policy at the University of Cambridge. And we've put a link to his report, Union at the Crossroads, Can the British State Handle the Challenges of Devolution, that he co-authored. One of our texters has written in and saying, talking to Scots on the internet, it's clear it's the Tories they want independence from, not the English. Yes, there's quite a lot of politics there that takes quite a bit of understanding.